Hi, everyone. Thank you, first of all, for coming to this. When I told one of my friends I was doing this at 11:40 on Friday, he said to me, oh, great, that's first thing in the morning. So I'll set my alarm for that then. So thank you for coming first thing, I guess. First things first, this is very much primer. It's for beginners. If you've never sewn before, this is where it is. Also, like any craft, there are lots of ways you can do things. So please don't feel like you have to be tied up into this one way. Lots of ways to do things. I'm going to be doing Q&A afterwards, but also quite a lot of this is by its nature very visual. If you'd like to come and find me later, I can do an audio described version if anybody has accessibility needs there. And I will move on. Sorry, I'm just trying to get my clicker working. My apologies. Let's see if we can get that going. No, we're going to do it old school. There we go. Okay. We don't appear to be on. Is it on that one? Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Brilliant. So, why have I decided to do this? What do I do? So I've made many wedding dresses. These are all wedding dresses that I've made in the past. Found them all really interesting to do. The top right one in particular was really interesting. That's my sister-in-law, actually, and she gave me permission to say that was an engineering challenge. She's quite busty. The fabric was very thin. It was a real challenge to kind of make that. I also make things for other people, including myself. So you can see here, I've made lots of things, baby clothes, various things for myself and for others. Bottom left, you can see I made some scrubs for the NHS during COVID, and I really helped make it so that it was quicker and easier to sew, found a different way to attach the sleeve. So these are the things that I'm going to cover today. First of all, we're going to talk about shopping, what you need to get, sewing pattern, fabric, how much fabric you need. Secondly, we're going to talk about preparing to sew, so cutting out the pattern, the fabric, markings. This will all make sense, I promise. And finally, I'm going to talk about sewing. So it's quite interesting, like a lot of crafts, the actual sewing bit is very much the last bit. You do a lot of preparation beforehand. It's very much a measure twice, cut once kind of thing. So shopping. When you're choosing a pattern, there are thousands and thousands of these sewing patterns that you can buy, and they're a really great place to start as a beginner. They will give you everything you need to know to make garments, and there are loads of them, loads to choose from. And you can see I've got three dress patterns up on the stage here. Now, when you're looking at these, don't look at the styling. Personally, oversized pink and white polka dots is not my personal choice of fabric, like that dress on the left there. But you're looking for this line diagram. That will tell you what the actual garment is going to look like, because then you can buy whatever fabric in whatever color you like. You can see there, I've ordered these from very easy to very hard, and you can see the difference. This is what you're looking for when you start. The easy one on the left, you can see there are very few seams, very little detail, very little fussiness. So that would be quite a nice one for beginners. The one in the middle is a bit more tricky. And the one on the far right, that one is actually really quite difficult. The dress actually has you construct a whole corset underneath the dress to support the weight of the skirt. So that's quite a challenge on the right. If you want to start there, cool. Wouldn't recommend it. I've done the same here with a pair of trousers. So you can see on the left, you've got your kind of pajama trousers things. Very easy, not much to fit, just a drawstring, very simple. And on the right, you've got a lot more in terms of pockets. You've got a zip fly, you know, lots more complexity. And you can see again there for a simple top, you've got a very basic t-shirt pattern and a more complicated shirt pattern. So when you're looking, try to find something, if you're looking for something to start with, less detail. I really liked this pattern when I was researching it. The reason I like it, first of all, you can tell it's easy because it says easy on it. That's a really good pointer for you. But also you can see you can make a lot of things from this one pattern, and it's all very simple and straightforward. So what I'm going to be doing, I've ringed the trousers there for you to see. So I'm going to be walking you through as if you were making the trousers with me and saying, hey, where do you start? So you've got your pattern. You need some fabric. What do we do? So on the left-hand side, that big data splurge there is all a lot of information, but importantly, it has this box that I've ringed at the bottom, suggested fabrics. And I've written that up in bigger font on the right-hand side there. And you can see we were doing view C for the trousers, which is cotton, cotton blends, flannel, gingham, lawn cotton, chambray. Now, one great thing you can do, you can just Google these fabrics to find out what they are. If that is all Greek to you, Google it, have a look at it, see what you can get. This is a really important point, though, to talk about two different types of fabric. There is woven fabric and knit fabric. So woven fabric, it's about the fundamental structures of at a fibre level. When I say knit fabric, I don't mean knitted like a knitted jumper at Christmas kind of thing. I mean just at the fundamental fibre level. A woven fabric would be something like jeans. A knit fabric would be something like a t-shirt fabric. Most people here are probably going to be wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Your jeans, if you tug at them, won't have much stretch, but your t-shirt will probably have quite a lot of stretch in it. And these two fabric types, the difference between them really matter when you're selecting a fabric. So if we were to look at, say, a jeans, making the trousers, you would need the woven. I will come back to this. So how much fabric do you need? First of all, measure yourself. Whatever you do, don't go and think, well, I'm a size M in H&M or Uniqlo or whatever. Measure yourself and look at the measurements, and you can cross-reference that so you can see if you were a 40-inch hip, you can cross-reference that with view C and get 2¾ yards of fabric, or 2⅛ if it's 60 yards, if it's 60 inches wide. So there are two widths of fabric there. The big difference that you've got here is this is in inches, and I must apologise to a team of techies here, because centimetres do usually exist on the patterns, but as it happens, this pattern, the centimetre chart, was in French, so I thought that probably wouldn't be the most useful thing to use. You can see here, if you're doing the dress, though, it might become a bit more complex. For that, you'd need bust, waist and hip. If you're lucky, you measure perfectly into one column there, in this case, size 16. You know exactly how much fabric you need to buy. But what happens if, like most people, you are not neatly within one size? Let's say your measurements look a bit more like that. You're a 16 in the bust and the waist, but an 18 in the hip. There are many, many ways to handle this in sewing. But when you're starting out, the simplest thing to do is to cut for the larger size. So in this case, the size 18, cut for the larger size, because it's much easier to make a garment smaller than it is to make it bigger. Your pattern might also ask you to buy interfacing. This is really magic stuff, and at the Q&A afterwards I've got a sample of it to show people, but basically it adds stiffness, and it adds a bit of structure where you're going to be making it whole. So anywhere where you're making a buttonhole or anything that needs stiffness, like a shirt collar or cuffs, something like that, it's a lightweight fabric that's got this thermo-softening glue on one side. It's really cool, by the way, if you're doing cosplay or anything where you want stuff to stand up and have that structure. And you can see the picture there with and without interfacing. So if your fabric calls for that, that's what it is. It's really easy to apply. You just iron it on. Your iron melts the little dots of glue, and your fabric is stiffer. Whatever you do, don't put your iron on the side of the interfacing with the little glue dots. Ask me how I know that one. I'm just going to take a trip back and just say about the fabric type. You'll notice A, B, and E, so that was your t-shirt and your dress, were sized for stretch knits only. There's a big reason why you can't mix the two. So if it said stretch knits only, apologies, flicking backwards and forwards, but if it said stretch knits only, and you buy a woven fabric, you are not going to be able to stretch that to put it on over your head, for instance. The difference between the two, the woven fabric, it's not stretchy, you're going to need zips, you're going to need buttons, things like that, but it stays quite stable while you're cutting it. The stretchy one is very much, like I say, you don't need zips, you don't need buttons, you pull it on over your head, but it's a bit more tricky to cut out. One isn't inherently easier than the other, but whatever you do, if your pattern says size for stretch knits only, buy a knit. If your pattern says woven, buy a woven. Don't mix the two, or you won't be able to get into your whatever you've made. So, we're finally on to preparing to sew. Probably the most important step, wash your fabric first. Whatever you do, however you normally wash your clothes, if you wash them at 60 and tumble dry them, naughty you if you do, but if that's what you do, wash your fabric that way first, so that you won't get it shrunk after you've made it. We are finally on to cutting out the pattern. So I'm going to show. This is what you should get in your pattern envelope. So These are the pair of the trousers that we looked at before. We've got a front and a back. This is the crotch here that you can see, that nice curve there, that's your crotch. What you're going to do is cut out the pattern. And you can see we've already measured the size. We've already decided that we're a size medium. And you can see on the pattern there is the little medium line. So we've got the lines here. Hopefully your pattern will not look as crazy as this. This is a real sewing pattern, by the way. This is a company called Birda who print like about 40 patterns on one sheet of paper. Again, wouldn't recommend starting there, but they do exist. So yeah, you can see in your pattern that you've got the marks there, and you can see that each size has its own type of dashed line. So in the case of medium, we've got the long dashed lines, and you can see it's marked as medium. So you cut out around all of your pattern pieces there, and that is going to give you a template. Bit Blue Peterish here, but that's the shape of it when cut out. So that's going to be the template that you're going to put on your fabric, so you know what shape of fabric to cut out for your body. This is a good time, by the way, if you're particularly tall or particularly short, to lengthen your pattern. Most patterns have these double lines, which is a really good place to shorten or lengthen it. Just to give you an idea, the patterns companies set their sizes in the 1950s. So patterns labelled as women's patterns, usually for people 5'6". Patterns labelled as men's patterns are usually for people who are 5'10". If you're taller or shorter than that, you might want to think about adjusting it. I'm just going to take a step back and talk about the anatomy of fabric a little bit and how this works. So when you buy your fabric, you've got the width of fabric, and that's the size of the loom it was woven on. That's usually 45 or 60 inches, and I am purposefully using inches there because most looms are still in inches. Down the edge of the fabric, you've got the selvage. That is where the edge of the loom is. That is quite stiff. You're going to be able to see that it's quite different down the edge of the fabric there. So you've got running across the width, you've got the width, and then the length of fabric is the straight grain. Why does this matter? So you can see there on both a woven and a knit, you remember this diagram, they all have a natural grain. And what this means is that the cross grain is very good for curving around things, like curving around your body. I need to remember the microphones there. Curving around your leg. Whereas the going down the straight of grain is much better on longer things, like down the front of this skirt, down the front of your trousers. You can get the two mixed up, and if you do get it a bit problematic, then you're going to end up with things like saggy hems, things not working right. So what this means, you get your templates like this. What you're going to do is take your fabric, fold it in half lengthways. You can see the fold there along the bottom. So the selvages, that's the edge of your fabric at the top. And you're going to lay your templates out along the fabric, and then you can cut it out. So that gives you the shapes that you need. We're folding it in half so that you've got two of them, of course, because you've got a left side and a right side. You might look at a diagram like this and think, oh, those two awkward bits up there, if I just turn them around and put them up there, that would waste far less fabric. Again, back to the anatomy of the fabric thing. If you start turning pieces round, you might end up with problems. So for instance, as I say, if it's meant to be curving around a body, it's better to have it cross-grain. If you have it running down the length of a fabric like trousers, it can really sag at the bottom if it's the wrong way around. So pay attention to that. And down the middle of all of your pattern pieces, you have got a double-headed arrow. And the double-headed arrow shows you the length. That's going down the grain of the fabric. So make sure that that is in the right place. So the easiest way to do that is to measure from the top and bottom of each of these double-headed arrows to the edge of your fabric and make sure that that is parallel to the edge of your fabric. Otherwise, when you get it, have you ever had a pair of jeans that sort of the leg twists while you move and you have to keep kind of twisting it back? Yeah, I've got a few nods from that. That's where your jeans have been cut, not on grain. They've not been cut on the straight of grain, usually because a manufacturer has cheaped out on that. It is really annoying. Keep it on the straight of grain. That then begs the question, okay, so we don't want to turn it round, but what if we flip these pieces totally upside down through 180? What would the problem be there? Most of the time, that's probably fine. If you've got something like velvet that's got a strokeable and a not strokeable direction, that's called a nap, by the way. If you've got something like velvet, then that could be a problem. Or in the case of a friend of mine, she had this lovely fabric that had butterflies that were flying off into the air, and she cut a dress out of it, and she cut the pieces upside down, and it looked like all the butterflies were kind of sadly dying down to the bottom of her dress. So, like, if you've got anything with a print on it, bear that in mind, bear about where it's going to be on your body. And while I'm on about that, do think about, if you've got a pattern on your fabric at all, do think about where that pattern's going to go on your body and with other seams, because, oh dear. Oh no. Oh bother. So yes, when you're cutting it out, use these pattern pieces as your template. So we've got that, you lay them out like that. This is a picture of this skirt when I was cutting it out. So you can see there, I've got my fabric laid out, I've got my paper template on top of it, and I'm cutting around my paper template. At the end of that, you should have some fabric like this. So these are the trousers that I showed you. They were cut on the fold, so that's the front of the trousers. And obviously, because they were cut on doubled up fabric, you've got two, you've got a left and a right. So that's going to make the front of those trousers. If you think they're short, they're for someone else, they're a gift. Right. This is a good time. I'm talking about pinning things. I'm talking about cutting out. It's a good time to talk about equipment. I'm not going to go through everything on here, so feel free to take a picture of that if that's useful to you. The first thing to say is there are a lot of places that will tell you need every bit of kit under the sun to start this, because it's a new hobby and why not have all the kit? You don't need absolutely everything, but I have put a list of really quite critical things up here. Sharp scissors are a must. Tailor's scissors cost a fortune, but I actually started sewing with a brand new pair of kitchen scissors from Sainsbury's. What is important is that they're sharp, and I would recommend that you don't use those scissors for paper in particular, because paper blunts scissors really quickly. So just keep them for your fabric. Get a new pair, keep them for your fabric. Sewing machines. Sewing machines are expensive, there's no getting around that. But you can often hire them from places like Library of Things and Fat Llama, and you'd be amazed at how many people have sewing machines languishing in a loft somewhere that haven't been touched in years. So it's worth borrowing one if you can, if you're just starting out. One thing that is really important, particularly if you borrow a sewing machine, is get a new sewing machine needle. I can't stress that enough. It's a consumable item. It goes blunt over time. If you're starting out, just buy a new pack of needles. They're only a couple of quid. It's not a big investment. But if your needle is blunt, it will cause you more headaches and more frustration than you can imagine. Finally is thread. Quite often you borrow someone's machine and they say, hey, I've got this whole box of thread here, do you want it? And it's all on wooden spools that were last used in the 1970s. And yeah, bad idea. Thread actually expires, thread can decay. If you use really old thread, you're at risk of making your beautiful garment and then it will all fall apart on you in a sort of Emperor's New Clothes style. So don't recommend that. Get some new thread with your project. Again, it's not a big expense. Whatever you do, don't buy one of these sewing machines. They're good for kind of quick bodge jobs. They're not really good for actually sewing garments. I'd warn away from anything like this. Right, on your pattern, you've got a lot of markings. You can see there, ringed at the bottom in a pink ring, is that little triangle there. That is called a notch, if we're getting technical. But basically, these markings are all going to be guiding you to say, hey, put these two bits together and match them up where the notches are. Or sew until you hit the small circle is a common one. So these markings are really, really important to have on your actual fabric, because they're your waymarkers. They're going to be your map. When it's like this, do you remember that we cut along for the size medium? We cut along that long dashed line, so little triangles on the edge. You actually have 15 millimetres usually of seam allowance. So you're going to be sewing the seam 15 millimetres in from that edge. So you've got quite a lot to play with. So these things I often mark by just doing a tiny snip into the fabric so I can find it. That's okay. You can mark with chalk or even pencil if it'll be visible on that. Whatever you do, just make sure that it's going to come out afterwards. But do remember to mark your fabric. I'm going to talk now about threading a sewing machine. I'm going to do it briefly, but I found this really cool GIF online of how it works. So the yellow is your top thread and the green is your bottom thread, so you'll need a top and a bottom thread. Usually those would match, but it's kind of a better GIF for it not to match. I'm not going to go into detail about this because every sewing machine is slightly different. Check your sewing machine manual, check on YouTube, there are loads of videos. But broadly speaking, it's okay for the thread to zigzag over the front of the machine. That's very normal, you can see how that goes there. For the bottom thread, there are two main types. The first is the drop-in, that's very easy, you can see your little bottom thread drops in the machine there. The other one, slightly more fiddly, is a front-loading one, it's called, where you put it inside this little metal casing and then you line the horn on that casing up with its little notch so it stays in. Again, check your manual, do it, and use some of your scrap fabric from what you've cut out to run a little test before you start sewing on your actual garment. Common sewing machine issues. I could find no way to make this visual, so forgive me, and if you want to take a picture, please do. If the machine is really noisy or it's not pulling the fabric through as you'd expect, clean out the machine and oil it. Again, loads of videos online as to how to do that. Doesn't take very long. Skip stitches, change the needle. Skip stitches and the fabric's being pulled, change the needle. It could be that there's the wrong size needle. Bigger fabrics need a bigger needle. If you've got loops of thread on the top or on the bottom, you need to adjust the tension. That's the tension between the two threads. So you saw in that GIF, you've got the yellow thread and the green thread, and they sort of lock together. And if that's unbalanced and it's tugging one way or the other, then you need to adjust the tension. That sounds hard. There's a little dial on the front of the machine. Just change the number. You'll be fine, I promise. You can always change it back. If there's anything else, turn it off, start from the beginning, re-thread it, which is the sewing machine equivalent of that. So, now we can actually start sewing, and this is really a demonstration of, like all crafts, how the sewing, again, is a very minor bit in the scheme of the whole thing. So, when you start, I put a little arrow there to say the needle is 15 millimetres from the edge of the fabric there, so that's what we're talking about, the seam allowance. What you do, you put your fabric right side together, so just as a quick demo here, this is my dress here, made for EMF, it's got a circuit board print on it. You can buy the fabric from Rockstar Fabrics, they're pretty cool, but I did dye it green for EMF, so there you go. You can put, this has got a right side, which is the circuit board print on it, and I'm going to do the can-can here. You can see the wrong side doesn't have the print. I am wearing leggings, you're all safe. So you can see that doesn't have a print in it. So the right side is the side of the fabric that you want to show the world. So when you're putting your fabric together, you put it right sides together and you're kind of sewing from the inside of it. And you sew, as I say, 15 millimetres from the edge of that seam there. When you put it onto the machine, you can lower the presser foot. That's the little clear plastic thing there. There's a little lever to do that. And you just gently push the pedal that you've got by your foot. A lot of people ask me, how hard do I have to push? The sewing machine feeds it itself. You're in control of the speed it does that with the foot pedal, and then the sewing machine will feed it through. You don't have to push anything. Like anything, it takes a little bit of practice. Practice on some scrap fabric first. It's kind of a bit like driving. Practice corners on a fabric first before you practice on your main garment, but it doesn't take very long to get the hang of it. Your pattern will have instructions for what pieces you put together in what order. So relax, don't worry about that too much. You've got all the pieces, your pattern will tell you. But I just wanted to run through a few things that your pattern won't tell you. If you're working with a woven fabric, use the straight stitches. If you're working with a knit fabric, it needs to stretch as you put the garment on and off, so you'll need to use zigzag stitches. Also, you can use longer stitches to put something together roughly and try it on. That's the equivalent of pencil markings in sewing. So you can put things together roughly using longer stitches. You can see the longer stitches on the far left there and third in from the left. One of the biggest tips I can give you is to iron as you go. So you can see there the difference between an unironed seam on the left and an ironed seam on the right, and how much that makes your garment look so much more professional, so much more put together. What I mean by ironing your seams is actually go to the back of that seam and open up where you've sewed it together and sew right down the middle of it. There's a good picture of that there that you can see. So get right into that seam, sew it open, and that will make it look way more professional. You might want to think about how you finish the edges of that seam. If you're doing a knit, you don't have to worry about this at all. Knits figure themselves out. Wovens will fray at the edges. You might decide you don't care about that. It's on the inside of your garment. But if you do, probably the easiest way to manage that is by using pinking shears, which are zigzag scissors for fabric, basically. So that's a really easy way to do it. There are so many things I can talk about with sewing. Patterns are not the only way. You can alter patterns, or you can make entirely without patterns. All of the wedding dresses I showed you were made without patterns completely, so you can go completely off-piste. How to choose a sewing machine. Oh, look, this is a great technical diagram. Look at this. This is half a front bodice and all the different ways you can split it to allow for a bust. It's proper non-Euclidean geometry stuff. So yeah, if you want to come and talk to me about that later, feel free to. How to work with vintage patterns, which is slightly different. Special fabrics like silk, leather, lace, they're a bit more finickety. Or cutting fabric on the bias. The sharp-eyed among you will have seen bias on the fabric diagram. That's a cool way to make non-stretchy fabrics stretchy, but again, catch me afterwards because that's like a half-hour topic on its own. But I'd be really happy if anybody sees me even around EMF to come and say hi and ask any particular questions, as well as I'll be at the Q&A afterwards. If you want to take a picture of this, I've just selected a very few here. There are some really great shops. Minerva Crafts is online. John Lewis is a bit expensive, but quite good for haberdashery, and their people there are really helpful. Borovic Fabrics, I put this up for EMF specifically. Borovic Fabrics supply to the West End. So if you want neon tint UPVC fabric, they will have it. That's the weird and wonderful stuff. Books, Reader's Digest Sewing, Vogue Sewing, Tilly and the Buttons, all really great for beginners, very comprehensive, and lots of Instagram accounts. Cornelius Quiring is really great because he focuses on menswear. But yeah, very happy to meet everyone in the Q&A afterwards. These are the key points. Work from a pattern, choose the right fabric and wash it first, and change the needle. Thank you very much.